Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
I'm Grace Bonney, and you're listening to After the Jump. I'm coming to you live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You can listen to the show live on Thursday at 11 a.m., or you can download the podcast at iTunes, and you can always stream live at heritageradionetwork.org. Today, I'm doing something different. I'm doing a solo show. I did a couple of these last year, and they seem to resonate with listeners a little bit differently than interviews, and I felt like it was the right time to do it for my business and personally based on some things I've been going through. So today's solo show has a title, and that title is At the Pace of What is Real, Learning to Embrace Your Present While Keeping an Eye on the Future, otherwise known as Philosophy and Poetry for the Independent Business Owner. Last year, I spent a lot of time talking about slowing down. The phrase work-life balance became something of a catchphrase for me. And while I took it seriously, I so easily slid back into a place where merely talking about the issue of needing to slow down and live more presently became a substitute for actually doing it. Like so many people, I have had to learn a lesson not once, but sometimes twice or three times to really get it stuck in my head. And last week, I found myself sitting on a cardiologist table learning my lesson for the second time. While I was relieved that the shortness of breath and racing pulse that I had been experiencing wasn't an indication of a heart condition that I'd worried about earlier in the week, it did come with a diagnosis of severe dehydration and stress. Much like the migraine episode I dealt with 3 years ago that ended in multiple ER visits, I felt unsatisfied with the diagnosis of stress, anxiety, and too much work. It always feels impossible to accept that there isn't a more clinical explanation, especially an explanation that you can't blame on yourself. But this time I listened more closely, and I took it as a second chance to get things right. So today, rather than a guess, I'm going to be talking about a singular topic on my own. Consider this sort of a part two to the work-life balance series that aired last year, but with a bit more of a real-world update and some fresh ideas and techniques to help avoid the speed bumps that I yet again have crashed into. So the first thing I want to start talking about is to go back to the show's title, which is At the Pace of What is Real. The first part of today's title comes from a book that I've been reading by the poet Mark Nepo about the importance of being present, something that I think could benefit all business owners, big and small. One reason I've been focusing on being present in my business is because lately I've just plain felt overwhelmed. Despite being happier with my team and the work that we're producing than ever, I've really been struggling to keep up. Keeping up with being a positive and effective leader, keeping up with my own writing and content production, keeping up with social media and the needs of a readership, with my own business and professional email, keeping up with personal relationships, friends, family, being a good pet owner, and last but not least, keeping up with the day-to-day responsibility of just taking care of my apartment. And I felt so overwhelmed that I felt something that I think will probably be familiar to a lot of you listening, a feeling that's sort of akin to your wheels just spinning aimlessly in mud and kicking up dirt and frustration and just ugly behavior that isn't helping anybody. That feeling led me to a bookstore, where I found myself in the self-help and religion section, and although I'm not a particularly spiritual or religious person, I do find myself returning to that section of the book and the web when I feel like I need some help. So the book I came home with was Mark Nepo's Book of Awakening, which is a book of full of short stories and lessons that are taken from literature, philosophy, religious teachings, and poetry, and they're accompanied by a directed meditation lesson. Now, before I lose you and think that I'm going into some sort of mumbo-jumbo land, I promise that this has a business application that I have found incredibly helpful. There's a lesson in the book for every day, and at the start of the new year, I decided to end my days by reading a lesson in bed and taking a moment to be quiet and to really think about all the ideas discussed. I felt my heart starting to open, and I felt the weight on my shoulders start to lighten as I worked on these lessons, and then, like it so often does, life crept back in. Interestingly, I was about 3 weeks behind in my reading when I realized I wasn't feeling well. It seems that over that time period, I'd started overworking again, along with the rest of my team, and replacing sleep, water, and healthy food with coffee, sugar, and more coffee. that disassociation with myself and my own health directly correlated to my lack of focus on what was really in front of me and important at the time. And I got so caught up in what we all get caught up in, the demands of running a small business, that I forgot about how important it is to focus on the day-to-day needs and the excitement of actually running that business. So today I want to talk about not just the importance, because it is important, of staying present with your business, but techniques for staying present and building in routines that can help you and your business stay afloat and really enjoy the success that you already have without getting caught up in the stress and worries that you fear might be yours one day. So, what does being present for your business look like? Being present for your business looks exactly like what's in front of you at the time. At its absolute smallest, it's the current task in which you're engaged in, whether that's writing a post or building a piece of furniture. At its biggest, it could be something that's a single project, whether you're working on a book or working on planning a single photo shoot. While that sounds really simple, understanding that honing in on the present and not being weighed down by all the things coming in your future, understanding that will really help you produce the best work for your business right now. And really grasping that and sort of taking that on as a concept is a huge step, mostly because there are so many distractions these days. Social media requirements, employees, real life, all of these things can easily flood your head and bringing you to a grinding halt if you don't place them in their proper spot until it's time to deal with them. So the big question is, how on earth do you clear these future activities out of your head without forgetting about them or forgetting to plan? What you do is you capture them and you set up reminders and fail-safes. In my previous radio show on work-life balance, I talked a lot about the importance of reminders. These reminders that really help you stay on track of things and the support systems and tech services and apps that you can use to take some of the pressure off. And now more than ever, these systems are incredibly crucial. Before committing to being present for your business, I find it's really helpful to sit down and map out what you've got going on for the next 2 weeks to a month. I put reminders on my Google Calendar. I use Boomerang, which I've become something of a complete salesperson for unofficially because I love it so much. I use Boomerang for email so I don't forget important things but don't have to remember them. And I use iPhone reminders primarily so that they'll beep and annoy the hell out of me until I've done what they're asking me to do. And I also use Hootsuite as an important social media update because we all know if you run a small business, social media is sort of a necessary evil. At least I see it that way. And it's something that you have to do. So if you have to schedule things, why not use a tool that will help you do it? Those tools are a great way to start things, but I also try to tell my friends and coworkers and anybody else that's really important in my life what I have going on. And it's sort of a final step slash fail safe to make sure that they can kind of check in on you and see how things are going. Having all these systems in place really lets you sort of rest assured that all of those thoughts that creep back in your head about future requirements and deadlines are covered. They're planned for and you can push them out of your brain so you can focus on what's directly in front of you. Not only does planning and information capturing like this really help you relax in the present when keeping an eye on the future, but it basically ensures a future for your business. The bottom line is this. If you are not 100% present and focused on what you're doing in the day-to-day life of your business, your work, or if you're not present in your life, I'm going to reread that sentence so I don't lose the impact of it. The bottom line is this. If you're not 100% present and focused on what you're doing in the day-to-day life of your business, your work and your business suffers. So much of us, myself included, worry about the future of our businesses so much that worry and stress affects the productivity and the quality of what we do today. So remembering that the productive, focused work of today really, really ensures a possibility of tomorrow is the key. And this is something that's so easy to forget about when you get caught up. So really focusing on the fact that if you give today 100% of your attention, you're ensuring a tomorrow really helps you kind of move forward with this process. The next thing I want to talk about is now that you've got a plan in your head for how to keep the future out, how do you have tricks and tools for staying in the present? The first step for me has really been to imagine myself as a new employee of my business and needing to understand everything from the bottom up, as well as feeling the excitement of doing a job that is 100% about the things that I love. Now, this might sound a little weird. I talked this out with a friend of mine before I actually came in today. And when I told her about needing to imagine yourself as a new employee, she looked at me like I was crazy, because isn't that the stage that you're trying to get past when you've started a business? But it's actually the stage you need to remember. I look at some of the people that I work with now who've only been with me for a year or so, and they still look like they have so much fun doing the things that I can't stand to do, whether it's sort of going through rounds and rounds of email or needing to check in with Facebook and Twitter and all these things that sometimes feel like tasks that just have to be accomplished, still seem like fun things for them to do. And it wasn't too long ago that I felt that way as well. So really trying to harness and get back to that feeling of being new in your company is something to think about, and it helps you stay present in that moment to really enjoy the fact that you're getting to do what you love. You're getting to run a business that is entirely yours, and you're getting to do the things that you do and get paid for it. So kind of going back to the beginning and grabbing onto that excitement is a really, really huge deal. And like most businesses or business owners, I really lose sight of how much fun it can be to do this. So every time you get to catch a little glimmer of something that reminds you of what it used to feel like, hold on to that and run towards it. For me, that really comes in the form of making room for spontaneity. Sometimes in our attempts to plan everything for our business within an inch of our life, we really forget to leave room for improvisation, for running with your heart and chasing after things that seem fun and interesting and now. Whether you're designing patterns or building a chair or running a blog, it's important to be excited about what you're doing. A good example of this was last week I was sick and I got to take a couple days off and I was at home. And the first thing I did was just completely set up camp on the couch because that is my favorite way to recharge. And once I'd sort of gotten some of that recharging under my belt, I decided to look for places that would be inspiring. And the first thing I turned to were documentaries. For some reason, that's always the thing that sort of lets my mind relax and just take in pure inspiration in the form of visual inspiration or a story that I just think is so exciting. What I ended up watching was the documentary on Bill Cunningham, who is sort of the iconic photographer who does street style photography and nightlife photography for the New York Times. And if you haven't seen the movie, you should go see it. It's incredible. And not only did I was I inspired by all the things that Bill has done in his life, but just sitting there and getting to be excited about the things that he likes to fill his world with, whether it's his funny blue jackets that he gets from Paris or the quirky way he rides his bike everywhere, no matter what the weather is, all those things are really inspiring to me. And it made me want to write a living in column, which if you're not familiar with Design Sponge, is a column we've had for years where you translate movie style into actual objects or things you can put in your home. And to be honest, it's a column I have dreaded my whole life because I'm not good at writing it. I don't enjoy it. For some reason, it feels like a task to turn something into objects. But I watched this movie and I found myself immediately scheduling myself to write a post for a living in. And I honestly can't remember the last time I've done that in the almost 10 years of running my business. I have always peddled that column off on somebody else because I'm just not good at it. But I found this little spark in myself and I thought, I really want to write this. I'm going to do it. And I ended up writing the post and it went over really well. And there were such wonderful, heartfelt comments on the post. And it really reminded me, I used to feel that way about everything that I wrote. And it's really kind of rare now and then that I have that feeling. And that little spark, that little moment of being re-inspired and remembering the grace that started the blog 8 or 9 years ago, that is the grace I need to get back to. And I think the best way to do that is by staying present. So here are some more tips that I think will be helpful for really sort of getting back to the beginning of what it was like to run your business. The first thing you should do is be curious. Ask questions about everything and wonder about the people that you study or the people that inspire you. The more you look into things that make up your day or your day job, the better able you'll be to become or to come up with new ideas that get lost in the moment sometimes. The second thing you should do is really appreciate and don't sweat the small stuff. I have always loathed the small stuff aspect of my job. Bill paying, letter mailing, office organizing, they're just things I really put off and put off and put off. But lately, they've actually started to feel like respites from heavier tasks that let my brain sort of switch paces a bit. And small changes like this, really sort of embracing the small day-to-day things that you need to do, are not only about appreciating and noticing the day-to-day aspect of your business, but they really give you a better grasp on what your business takes to run. And having a more holistic view of your business will always lead you to be a more successful and effective business owner in the end. I've mentioned some of these tools before, but I cannot overstress the value of Pomodoro, which is a free downloadable timer you can put on your desktop, and it sort of times how much you work, and then it can kind of freeze your computer after 10 or 15 minute segments. If you don't have that on your desktop or laptop, I highly recommend downloading it. Boomerang, which is the Gmail app that lets you send things later than you'd want to or have them bounce back. Those sorts of things where you can schedule your email are really effective tools for clearing things out. And Hootsuite that I mentioned before is something else that will really help you focus on your day. If you need any help staying in the moment and focusing on what's fun in your job, these devices are the best way to clear your plate. So I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about pushing through the roadblocks that will eventually pop up if you get this process going.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Hey, welcome back to After the Jump. I'm your host, Grace Bonney. And today I'm doing a solo show on the importance of being present while keeping an eye on the future. And this whole talk today is really just about the importance of slowing down, finding new ways to help you do that, and to really stay present with your business, which is something that, despite my best efforts last year in doing a heck of a lot of radio shows on work-life balance, I still found myself back in the same place of working too much, getting caught up in what was coming down the road, and really not paying attention to what was in front of me, which is the most important thing you can do for your business. So before the break, I was talking about the importance of staying present and some tips and sort of tools for doing that. But I really want to talk about the reality of once you start this process, you are eventually going to hit a roadblock. And how do you push through these roadblocks? So this isn't just sort of a fad effort that you try, and it's something that really stays with you in your life. The biggest problem I've had in terms of staying present is that feeling of panic that sets in every now and then, or every week in my case, when I start to realize how many things are on my plate. And if you are a small business owner, and especially if you're a small business owner with children, you understand this feeling. It is inevitable. It is part of the online world now to have an insane pace, combined with an increased sense of being beholden to not just your business and your team, but to your online audience and to social media followers and just about anybody who writes you an email. And while it's incredibly important to respond and appreciate all those people, if you think about them in the large sense, you're going to feel overwhelmed. And until recently, these freakout moments really scared the heck out of me. To me, they were signs that I couldn't handle my business or that I was somehow out of date or behind the times. To me, they seemed like a sign that I should just give up and maybe find a new field that was less demanding. But in Mark Nepo's Book of Awakening, which is sort of the inspiration for today's show, there was an entry where he talked about that exact feeling, the need to speed up and pick up the pace. And he said that that feeling of like, you must run, you must go faster, that's the exact time you need to do the opposite. Essentially, the lesson was that the moment of panic and anxiety that is really your body's way of telling you to slow down, to drop things and to focus on what's important and to take care of yourself. And for some reason, that little like two sentence paragraph in the book really stayed with me for a few days. And whenever something does that, I feel like it's my mind or my body's way of saying like, you need to slow down and listen to this thing. It's resonating with you for a reason. And there was a guided meditation / lesson that came with that little reading in the book. And the lesson was particularly helpful for me. And I think it's one that will be really helpful for you too. It's not anything religious or mumbo jumbo. It's really just about thinking about things that are going to help you move forward more calmly. So Nepo said that You should think about three things that are weighing heavily on your mind or on your to-do list, and really think about them and visualize them as objects that you're carrying. And then put two of them down. Now really focus on that one task that you have left and really throw yourself into that project and giving it your 100%. When I did this simple exercise in my head, I was completely blown away by how helpful it was to remember a time and a state of mind where working on one thing was all that I had to do. I was immediately flooded with good feelings and the sort of excitement that comes from problem solving and just getting to be creative. I wasn't thinking about 10 of the things in the back of my head, just the one thing in front of me. And that is the definition of being present for your business. I think this is something that everybody should do right now. Just take a minute. If you're listening to this podcast, you can put it on pause and just think about three things that are incredibly difficult or heavy for you right now. I can always think about 30 on the top of my head. Think about three of them and really think about visualizing them as things you're carrying. And so often in my life, they are actually things that I'm carrying. They could be a bag full of craft supplies or a typewriter that I'm lugging back and forth to do and use on projects. Really think about putting those things down. That's a really powerful visual image for me for some reason, to put them down and walk away from things that don't need you right now and to focus on that one thing and give it all your attention. I really think that it's probably pretty rare to find a business owner that feels like they get to do that on a day-to-day basis, to really focus on one thing and give it all their attention. But I think it can be done. And I think if you really visualize this and focus on the one thing you need to do, you feel good about that one thing that you finished. And it gives you the energy to approach the second thing that you may have been carrying, and maybe even the third thing if you get to that. But I found that that was a really powerful visualization tool to help me move forward. So no matter how you choose to run your business, being present is going to be the foundation of being a good, productive, and effective leader. So I want to end today's show by talking about ways to keep the process moving forward in the real world, i.e. how to make all of this stuff that sounds like fancy new age help actually move your business forward and make you a happier person. Step one is to set a schedule. I know this sounds silly and basic, but I've started to enforce a very basic schedule for myself that's made all the difference. The 10 to 6 work hours I set for myself in the office seemed like they were impossible to keep, and they almost immediately crept way back into 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. land very quickly. So I went back to basics. Work ends at 6 p.m. for me. If it can't be finished in an hour or so of homework, it really needs to be rescheduled. And unless Oprah Winfrey herself is waiting on the other end of my deadline, I'm pretty sure I can wait. I also worked in time to start and end my day with quiet time and time with my pet. Two things that really, really ground me. But this is incredibly difficult to enforce when you have a family or you want to be social. And I found that really giving myself this gift of 20 minutes at the start and end of every day are really valuable. And they really helped me be quiet and let me recharge properly and be present for a morning full of work tasks. The second thing is to inform your team members and other crucial parties of your schedule. I cannot stress how important this is. I am the worst when it comes to visibly expressing frustration when someone is butting into my work time. And then I realize that, that's my fault because I didn't tell them I was working at that time or that I needed to focus on something. I now try to explain to my team every morning what the day's schedule is going to look like so they don't need an hour. So they know that I need an hour at some point to work on email, whatever it is, uninterrupted. And this is really important. If you're somebody who runs a small business and you've got one or two people working for you, it can seem like managing those people and trying to keep them informed is a pretty easy thing and doesn't need to be investigated. But when you have a really small team, like a lot of small businesses do, you need to manage and really care for those relationships almost more than a big company does, because those two or three people are really giving you their heart and their soul every day. And really showing them that you appreciate them is a huge deal. So you can appreciate them by expressing the things that you need so that they have a set of expectations to work from. I find that most people who work any sort of job are fine to adjust to a schedule as long as they know what it is. So if you need an hour or 2 hours in the beginning of your day to go over email, to do admin work, or to just sort of ease into work without somebody peppering you with questions, tell people. It's totally okay. I've been slowly doing this with my team and it's gone over really, really well. And the next step is to really stick with your guns. Keeping the rules above and everything else that I've mentioned today are only going to happen if you learn to say no, or can you please wait until I'm ready? I used to think that if somebody called or emailed me with a question, I had to immediately respond to their timeline. But you don't. You need to stick to your timeline. So if somebody's tapping you on the shoulder or calling you, the best thing to learn, and this is the best thing to learn sooner the better, is how to tell them, I'm sorry, this isn't a good time. Could you come back to me at 3 p.m.? I'd be happy to talk then. It is a win-win for both of you. They get your focused attention and you get the time to finish what you need and when you need to do it. Now, this is a thing that I think is incredibly difficult to do these days. And I really wanted to end on this note because I think it's something that is sort of built into the guilt that comes with being a small business owner, which is you feel fortunate to have people who want your attention, who want your feedback, who want to collaborate with you on something. But you feel like you sort of owe them their time schedule, and that if they're coming to you, well, of course you have to operate on the schedule that's best for them. That's not true. I think this is something that I have to tell myself on a regular basis, because especially I find if you're a woman in business, you feel like if you're saying no, or if you're delaying something, or if you're rescheduling something, people are going to think you're difficult. And believe me, people have thought that I was difficult for almost all the years that I've been running my business. But I really feel strongly that you need to operate on a schedule that works for you. And of course, it's important to be flexible if somebody needs something quickly and they really, really do. But more often than not, I've found that when people come to you with a schedule, they aren't 100% expecting you to say, awesome, I will jump too as soon as you need me to do that. A lot of people expect you to come back with some sort of rescheduling or plan, or to say that time can't work, can we do it this time? It's totally okay, and it doesn't affect the success of your business. And it's really, really important to remember. I think that one of the things I've learned from talking to small business owners everywhere in the country is that this sense of like, if you don't do it now, it's not going to happen, is just pervasive. And it's just simply not the truth. I really sort of was reminded when I was working on this radio show of the interview I did last week with Alex Ebenmeyer, who is an incredible illustrator. And the thing I'm always struck by when I talk to Alex is the sense of sort of calmness and camaraderie that he has about what I always see as his competitors, which are fellow illustrators who have a very similar style. But instead of being worried about that and worried about the jobs maybe that he wasn't getting, Alex approached that from the sense of, I'm just not doing that job right now. And it felt like a big light bulb moment for me, because I don't often think about my work that way. But if I did, I bet I would be as calm and relaxed and happy as Alex is, because he understands that there's always work out there to be done. And if you're sharing it, if you're passing it forward, if it's not coming to you this time, but it's coming to you next time, you can kind of sit back and relax a little bit and appreciate what you've got in front of you, and know that one of these jobs or one of these tasks is what's going to be in front of you a week from now, a month from now, or a year from now. Really settling into that comfort and learning to just appreciate what's on your desk at the time should be the overall goal. And it really does make you a much happier person. Like all the work-life advice that I've given on this show before, this is really intended under the best of circumstances and to be implemented in small steps. No one is perfect, and no change in lifestyle or business style can be done overnight. So I really hope that these ideas will inspire you to make changes in the way that you approach your business in the long term and the short term sense. So best wishes for all of you listening, for all of you business owners, and thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's show. I'll see you next Thursday on After the Jump.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.